Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the blessings on our life that you have so graciously bestowed. And God, we are mindful of our unworthiness and our undeservedness and the grace of God that brings it to us. And so we're grateful and thankful, especially at this time of year where we're reminded of how thankful we should be. And as we look this morning, help us to be thankful for our salvation, thankful for being a child of God, thankful that our sins have been forgiven and removed by the death of Christ on the cross, and thankful that we are being transformed day by day by the power of God, and thankful that all of that is true and that God has provided this for us. And we love you and we thank you for that. And God, I pray as we open your word here tonight that you would grant to us understanding of it, and God, that you would reveal yourself in and through it, and that we would be helped as far as learning more of you and what you have done for us, so that we may in turn rejoice and worship and glory in you to a greater degree. In Christ's name we pray, and for Jesus' sake, amen. Verse 12, well, yeah, let's do that and we'll go back, Justin. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Last week we looked at the question, what is the consequence of mankind because of the fall of Adam? Because Adam fell in the garden, sinned in the garden as our representative, what does that mean for us? And the answer we attempted to flesh out with Romans 5, 12 through 17 is, all mankind descending from Adam by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell with him in his first sin. The fall brought mankind into a condition of sin and misery. All mankind, by the fall, lost communion with God, are under His wrath and curse, and so made liable to all the miseries of this life, to death itself, and to the pains of hell forever. All men became guilty of Adam's sin, lack righteousness, and inherit a corrupt nature in which all actual transgressions come. And so we looked at the entrance of sin by one man, Adam, the effect of sin, which is death, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. And finally, we looked at the expansion of sin as everyone dies because everyone is corrupted by the sin of Adam, thus everyone is condemned. So that's what we did last week. The next question is on the board for you tonight. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the condition of sin and misery? In the condition that we have had imputed to us by Adam, a sinful, miserable condition, does God leave us in that condition? And of course, we know the answer is no. And this is how the Catechism answers that question. God, out of His mere good pleasure, from all eternity, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of the condition of sin and misery and to bring them into a condition of salvation by a Redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen. So the bad news is that every single one of us is ruined by sin. Every single one of us are sinners, guilty of sin, condemned by sin, and deserving of the punishment of eternal damnation because of that sin. That's the bad news. That affects every single one of us. Amen? The good news is God did something about it. Amen? When we could not do anything about it, the good news is God did something about our miserable condition. And so what I want to do tonight is sort of add a little bit to last week's thoughts, sort of drill down a little bit more into that, and then move forward and then flesh out and unpack this next question that we have before us about God's coming and doing something about our condition. So what I want to do, let's back up just a bit. Think about last week's thoughts. We need to remember and take notice that Adam was commanded not to eat of the tree of good and evil. And when God said that, what that literally meant was obedience to God means life. Disobedience to God means death. Right? So if Adam would have obeyed God, he would have lived. But because Adam disobeyed God, he died. So obedience to God means life. Disobedience to God means death. Now, how many sins did Adam commit? One. One sin. Is that right? How many commands did God give Adam? One. And Adam broke that one command. And when Adam broke that one command or disobeyed God in that one thing, Adam forfeited life and entered into death, right? So Adam was condemned and condemned the entirety of the whole human race. Adam condemned himself, he condemned his wife, he condemned his children, and he condemned me and you and everyone over one sin. Somebody help me. He didn't eat of the tree over and over again, did he? He ate of the tree and then he was expelled from the garden and was unable to eat of the tree again. So he didn't commit the same sin over and over again like I do. He committed one sin one time and condemned the entirety of the human race for it. So that means, I think, the only way that I can have life, and the only way you can have life, and the only way that we can avoid death, spiritual and eternal, is to obey God. Amen. Which means that if you and I stood before God on the day of judgment, and God looks at my record and He finds only one sin, I'm condemned to hell forever. Is that right? So the only way to have life is to obey God perfectly. Right? The only way Adam would have had life was to obey God perfectly. The only way that I can have life is to obey God perfectly. So it is only perfection that brings us into life, and anything less than perfection means death. You with me? So it cannot be that I am depending on doing more good things than bad things. Because one bad thing, one sinful thing, does me in. Say amen. One misstep means I forfeit life and merit death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of one sin is death. And that's all Adam had, wasn't it? One sin. And he died with one sin against him. And that one sin was enough to condemn him to hell forever. And us too. So, God comes. And Adam and Eve, who have covered themselves with their own efforts, their own works, fig leaves. They took fig leaves and they covered their nakedness. But what does God do? God doesn't accept their fig leaves. God takes an innocent animal and He kills that animal. And He takes the skin of that animal and He clothes Adam and Eve and covers their nakedness. Again, it is not their efforts that is needed. It is the efforts of God that is needed. So here's my question. Did the death of this animal atone for their sin? Well, the answer is no. Good. A harder question is why? Why did that death of that animal, why did it not atone for their sin? Now, this is the part of the equation that is often ignored in many churches and by many preachers. It's not ignored here. You have heard this from the pulpit over and over and over again, so this won't be a strange thing for you to hear, but I just want to remind you because it is absent from most salvational teachings in most Baptist churches. If life means perfect obedience, or if life comes, eternal life comes from perfect obedience, and death comes from disobedience, right? That is made clear with Adam. Yes? Where in the Bible did that change? Where in the Bible did that change? Where from Adam to Christ did it change? It didn't change, did it? For me to have life and for you to have life, we must have perfect obedience, which we don't have, because we have been fallen in Adam. Say amen. We are born without perfect obedience. So in verse 12, Paul says that Adam is a figure of him to come. Who is that him that is yet to come? It is Christ. So Adam prefigures Christ. So you have this first Adam in the garden, and you have this second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. And everything hinges on these two Adams. Say amen. We are condemned in the first Adam, but God, by his good pleasure, from all eternity, through a covenant of grace, delivers us out of the condition of sin and misery and into a condition of salvation by a Redeemer, which is Christ, the second Adam. Are you with me? And not only is Christ the second Adam, he's the last Adam. Now, we are condemned by the disobedience of Adam, right? And we can only be saved by the obedience of Jesus Christ. You see what happened? As my representative, Adam sinned. His disobedience brought death to me. It is only if I am in Christ, the second Adam, who has been perfectly obedient to the law, do I have perfect obedience. Amen. So death comes to all of us in Adam, and life comes to us only in Christ. We are saved by Christ because he was perfectly obedient. Adam failed, and in Adam we failed, but Christ didn't fall, and Christ didn't fail, and in Christ we don't fall and we don't fail. Adam brought death, Christ brings life. So it is not only the death of Christ on the cross, right? His passive obedience, but it is his righteousness, his active obedience in which he has perfectly kept the law to provide us a righteousness that we don't have. So now let's look at the text, finish some of these thoughts that unpack this answer to this question that we have before us tonight. So let's do that. Let's begin verse number 15. Let's talk about the response of Christ. How does God respond to Adam and his sin in the garden? God responds to Adam's sin and our state of sinfulness by giving us a gift. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the what? Free gift. Christ is a gift of God. And it is free. Which means it cost nothing to have. Say amen. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. So Christ is a gift and the grace is a gift. It has abounded unto many. So I think what Paul is doing here is he's showing us a difference between this first and second Adam. It's indicated by the words, much more. The free gift is much more greater than and more effective than the transgression of the first Adam. Somebody help me. Transgression means an offense against God. And as a result of Adam's transgression, many die. As a matter of fact, everyone dies. Who are these many that Paul says die because of the transgression of Adam? Well, it's all of those who are in Adam. And that's the entirety of the human race. That's me and that's you. He acted as our representative when he did what he did, and we all went down with him. The free gift, or the grace gift here, which is good and righteous and pleasing unto God, has abounded to many, Paul says. And so who are those identified as many? Well, they are all those who are in Christ. Somebody help me. For all who are in Adam, there is death. For all who are in Christ, there is life. One is a transgression. The other is a gift of grace. So is the effect of Adam's sin devastating to us? Yes. Is it widespread? Yes. But the effect of Christ's act, now understand this, the one act of Adam doomed the entire human race. But the one act of Christ now brings life. And they're not equal. Somebody help me. Adam, first Adam, second Adam are not equal. What the second Adam did is much greater or much more than what the first Adam did. The original Adam brought death. The second Adam brings life. And simply stated, life is better than death. Say amen. I have come to conclude I'm better at tearing up than building up. Somebody help me. Are you like me? I can tear something down better than I can repair it. I'm good at tearing things up. Say amen. Adam brought death, but Christ brought something much greater than that. He brought to us life. Are y'all hanging with me? So Christ is more powerful to save than Adam is to ruin. Adam had the power to kill. Christ has the power to give life. So Paul talks about the grace of God, the gift of grace, the gift of righteousness, all coming by this one man, Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. How many sins did Adam commit? One. But Christ comes. He doesn't have to die for one sin. He has to die for millions and millions of sins. And guess what? He dies on the cross so that all who come to Him can have life. By grace, not by law, by grace, the free gift of Christ. Number two. Not only do we see the response of God is in His giving this free gift of Christ to be our Redeemer, but secondly, I want to show you in verses 17 through 19 the righteousness of Christ. And again, we'll flesh out this some more about this obedience or this righteousness that we need that we have in Christ. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the what? Righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as many For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the what? Obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So remember what we said earlier. Disobedience brought death. It is perfect righteousness or perfect obedience that brings life. So we are saved because Jesus Christ was perfectly obedient. And he was obedient perfectly even to the cross. We have seen in Hebrews, if you have been here for that, that God commanded Christ to the cross. And Christ goes to the cross in obedience to his Father. So we are saved because Jesus Christ was perfectly obedient, and in the gift of salvation, we are imputed the perfect righteousness of Christ. So on the cross, dying in our place, Christ bears our sins and its punishment so that we are without sin, and his perfect obedience is imputed to us so that we are perfectly obedient or perfectly righteous. So those who are in Christ, through Christ, have not sinned. When God looks at my record, because Christ took all my sins on the cross, paid the penalty for all my sins, when Christ looks at my records, when he looks in the books, I have no sins against me. And I have perfect obedience attached to me because the perfect obedience of Christ has been imputed to me. So in Christ, I am sinless and perfectly obedient. It is because of the obedience of Christ that we have life. And you see, man wants to take that and mess that up. He wants us to have some sort of input as far as our obedience. It is not our obedience. It is the obedience of Christ in which we have life. Death comes from disobedience. And so what Adam did in the garden has not only been canceled by Christ, but it has more than been canceled by Christ. It is not just death that has been canceled. It is that we have received righteousness and holiness and reconciliation with God and conversion and adoption and eternal life. Sin in Adam brought death, but grace in Christ has brought us something even greater, everlasting life. We have been damned by one sin, by one man. And we are justified by one sacrifice and the righteousness of one man on the cross, Jesus Christ. And all of our sins are forgiven in his one sacrifice. How great is forgiveness? We are made perfectly righteous. And there is no other way to be perfectly righteous except to be in Christ. Number three. We see here the righteousness of Christ and the response of Christ. Thirdly, we see the reign of Christ. So what reigned from Adam? Death. Death reigned. Death reigned. But to those who are in Christ, death has been defeated. For those who are in Christ, the law has been defeated. For those who are in Christ, sin has been defeated. For those who are in Christ, hell has been defeated. Say amen. I am no longer under the law. Say amen. I no longer experience spiritual or eternal death. I no longer have this power of sin or bondage of sin over me. I no longer fear hell. Why? In Christ I have life, and death no longer reigns. Life reigns. Christ reigns. So death reigned because of the sin of Adam. Life reigns because of the sacrifice of Christ. By the one act of Christ on the cross, He reigns, and life reigns with Him. In other words, grace overpowers the results of sin. Sin abounds, but grace much more abounds. So sin and Adam set us against God, and death reigned over all of us. And in Christ, we are reconciled to God, and we reign in the righteousness of Christ. And for all eternity, Jesus reigns. And for all eternity, His righteousness reigns. And for all eternity, His grace reigns. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I have a salvation that cannot be taken away. Let me prove it to you. How many Adams are there? How many Adams are there? Two. Two Adams. First Adam, second Adam. The first Adam messed things up royally. Now don't give him a hard time, because if it had been you, you would have messed things up royally too. He messed things up royally. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to fix what Adam messed up. And not just fix it, but make it much better. This Jesus Christ on the cross that fixed the first Adam's mess up is the last Adam. There is no other Adams. Nobody's coming in to mess up what Jesus Christ has put right. I'm glad to tell you, I can't even mess it up. And I mess up a lot. There was a book that came out called Love Wins. That book was by an author named Rob Bell. And in the book, he was trying to make the argument that in the end, salvation will be universal. Everyone's going to go to heaven regardless of whether they have trusted in Christ or not. I would say that book is wrong. I would say Christ wins. Christ wins. The resurrection is the proof that Christ wins. Where sin once reigned, Christ now reigns. Where death once reigned, life now reigns. Where law once reigned, grace now reigns. Adam's act produced death and condemnation and brought about the reign of death, and the one act of Christ brought about His reign and the reign of life. So Christ and grace meets sin and death and defeats it soundly. Christ and grace in Him reigns, and then it becomes the controlling power of our lives. It is silly for us to say that Christ reigns and lives inside of us, and then He doesn't have controlling power of our lives. That seems to me to be a silly thing to say. Does Christ reign? Well, does Christ reign where death reigns? No, if Christ reigns, there's life. Spiritual life. Eternal life. He has unleashed upon us righteousness and forgiveness and justification and adoption and conversion and one day glorification. So the one work of Christ transfers the sinner from death to life. That's what I want to talk about. The sinner, me, you, have been transferred from death to life. There was a time when death reigned in us. In Christ, death no longer reigns, life reigns. And the one work of Christ and the grace of that work justifies us, reconciles us, and fits us for heaven. And listen, that's the only way. We have peace because of Christ. We are adopted because of Christ. We are reconciled to God because of Christ. We are justified by Christ. We are sanctified by Christ, and there is no other name by which men must be saved but Jesus Christ. And as Ken and Linda sing for us sometimes, there is something about that name. So, is it true? I have to be careful here. Is it true that it's not fair that you are a sinner because somebody else made you a sinner? And I would say yes, that it's not fair. But it's also not fair that you are redeemed, that you are saved, because that happened by someone else too. Is it true that you did nothing to become a sinner? Yes. Adam did that for you. And you do nothing to become a saint either. Jesus did that for you on the cross. Obedient to the Father. Amen.